Well, the nose is pretty bad. I'm pretty sure I got an Altoids coming up this morning. It's pretty bad when the first two or three rows are empty. It's so bad that Frank was in the back getting extra chairs for back there. I told Frank I was going to pick on him. So, let's just commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just want to again thank you for this wonderful day, for the season in which we recognize and remember who it is that came to save, who loves us, the Lord Jesus Christ. We just thank you for that. We thank you for our time together this morning. We pray that our studies here in consideration of your word and of your son would be helpful to us and would bear fruit for your glory and your honor. Amen. You can turn to Matthew chapter 22. While you're doing that, by way of introduction, I'll explain a couple things. This morning, we're continuing our series on Christian character building. Can everybody hear me okay? The Christian character that we want to discuss this morning, and again next week, is love. When we talk about love, we're talking about one of the foundational Christian characters or Christian characteristics. It's a building block that all the others flow from. So we want to be very careful then that when we talk about love, we use a biblical definition of what love is. When we talk about love, we don't talk in terms of what the world says love is, or the world's feeling about love. We want to define it very clearly. By example, I think it's the best way to define love in the Bible. Because the common use of that word today doesn't really match. I don't think it doesn't really match a biblical definition of what love is. And specifically this morning, I want to talk to you about agape love. Because agape is a Greek word that indicates the kind of love that we'll see explained and given as an example the most in the New Testament. There are different kinds of love, and there are different Greek words for love. There's eros, which is a sexual love, which isn't mentioned at all in the New Testament. There's phileo, which is brotherly love, which is a natural affection that one has for another. Then really, the word that's translated love the most in the New Testament is agape, which speaks of a godly love, which isn't an emotion. It's an action. It's a self-sacrificial attitude. The world wants us to think that love is an emotion. It's how you feel about somebody. Oh, you know, I love them. You know, I feel good about that person. The world's love is a love that expects a response. God's love is a love that does not expect a response. It provokes a response, though, but it doesn't necessarily expect it. Godly love is a love that gives, and a love that sacrifices, and a love that ultimately thinks of others consistently and well beyond thinking of oneself first. Regardless of whether you expect something in return or not. In Galatians 5:22, we have Paul telling us about the fruit of the Spirit. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. He starts with love, because love is a foundational characteristic for the believer. Godly love, agape love. If you want a really good treatise on love, the place to go for it, there are several places actually, but one of the places that you're going to go for that is you're going to go and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. There Paul gives us the basis of love. Tells us all about what love is, what love does, how the evidence of love is manifested. He closes chapter 12 in introducing that topic by saying, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. A more excellent way. Love, and really, the translation means a super excellent way. There's no way higher than this. Love is the way. And then he goes on in chapter 13 and explains love to us. And he closes that chapter by saying, now about these, there's three things. There's faith, there's hope, and there's love. He says the greatest of these, by far, without doubt, is love. Last week, our brother Jorge gave an excellent message on kindness. And he used as an example the Old Testament picture of David and Mephibosheth, and how David forgave Mephibosheth for Jonathan's sake, and everything that was associated with that. And when I was preparing my thoughts on love here, I was thinking, love really, all these other Christian character building things that we're talking about, love should be first, I mean, because all the other things kind of build on that. Because how can you have patience if you don't have love? How can you be forgiving if you don't have love? How can you be kind if you don't have godly love? But the interesting thing is, and I think that the Lord showed me, was that the end that it's in is fine, because we're learning something nonetheless. Because if going back and then reading about Jonathan and David, the whole situation that the Mephibosheth example builds on, I found that it was said three times. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, it was mentioned twice, and in 1 Samuel chapter 20, it was mentioned once. It said that Jonathan loved David as he loved his own soul. When the Holy Spirit puts something down like that and repeats it for us, he's telling us something. And I like that, because what it showed me was that David and Jonathan's relationship was built on and based on this idea of a love. Loving someone as you love your own soul. And therefore, the situation with Mephibosheth flowed from that. The kindness that David was able to show toward Mephibosheth was based upon a love that he had for Jonathan, that Jonathan had for him, that godly, agape love. Now, the world will tell you that that love was unnatural. Because the world wants us to think of love in terms of a carnal concept, in terms of a sexual concept. But godly love, as defined in the Bible, is none of those things. There's a place for that as well, but godly love is talking about action. It's talking about giving, and it's talking about self-sacrifice. We see that with Jonathan, and we see that with David with regard to Mephibosheth. Now, in defining this love, this agape love, I'd like to break it into two categories. It's what they did in the Old Testament, when you think about it. The commandments, the Ten Commandments, basically had two components. Let's start by reading in Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 35. I'll start in verse 34. They're asking the Lord Jesus questions, and he's responding to them with perfect wisdom, as he could only do. Verse 34 continues, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, that would be concerning the resurrection, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. On those two commandments, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. On those two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And I want to stand here this morning and talk to you about the law. I don't want to upset people and make you think that we're under law. Because that's not my purpose here. Because we are certainly not under law, we are under grace. But what does that mean? Does that mean the law does no longer pertain? Not necessarily. It means that we fulfill the law in love. Legalism is saying, I'm doing something to obtain something. That was the old covenant. Do and live. The new covenant is live and do. And I like to tell you that the new covenant is love and do. Love and do. And here the Lord Jesus Christ says there's two things. There's a love for God, and there's a love for your neighbor. And it's right that the love for God must come first. Because let me tell you something. If you're not growing and developing your love for the Lord, then you're not going to grow and develop love for others. One springs from the other. So the love of God comes first. And that means love of His Word. It means love of Him. Of entering into everything that He has revealed to us, that is His will for us. When we enter into all that, we understand His great love, wherewith He loved us. That's the start. An unbeliever cannot love with a godly love. Impossible. They don't have the love of God in them. They don't have the love of Christ abiding in their hearts. You must first develop your love for God before you can develop your love for others. And the more you enter into that relationship with Him, the more you'll find what will flow out of that is your response and your actions to others, whether they be believers or not. Because I'd like to focus primarily on love toward neighbors. But I want to define that for you a little further, because the Lord Jesus Christ defined it for us. A neighbor isn't just a believer. A neighbor isn't just somebody that's at Blaisdell Gospel Chapel. A neighbor isn't just somebody that's a Christian in another denomination besides whatever denomination you might be in, if you're in a denomination. Love has to do with anyone. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 43. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking again. And we read, you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Agape love is not just toward them that are within, it's toward them that are without. a hard thing for me personally to comprehend. You know, I was talking to Jeff before the message, and I was explaining to him, you know, I mean, it's an easy topic to find information on. I mean, it's not a difficult message to prepare to talk about godly love. The difficult part is whittling it down into something meaningful for every one of us to take away from here today. And the really difficult part is living. It's next to impossible, isn't it? I mean, we got to be honest with ourselves. It's next to impossible to have godly love at all times. It's not impossible, I don't think. But it sure is hard. I find myself failing miserably, consistently. Not just with my brothers and sisters in the family of God, but probably even more so with them that are without, the lost. James chapter 2, verse 8. I'm going to put my watch up here. Help me. Let's see where I'm at. Time-wise. James chapter 2, verse 8. James says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. James calls it a royal law. A royal law. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is not something that we can get around. It's not something we can get away from. Read John's first epistle and see what he says about it. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples. He says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. He said, the greatest two commandments are love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. And James called this a royal law. 1 Peter 1:22, Peter exhorts us to love one another fervently. Fervently means, you know, he means with great, I can't think of the word, but the concept that's in my mind is like boiling water. You know, bubbling over. Fervently. It's very active. It's not just coming here on Sunday and exchanging some pleasantries with, you know, with people in the aisles after the message, before the message, on Thursday evening. The Lord Jesus Christ wants us to do is so much more than that. He wants us to actively give to each other. He wants us to actively, consistently care for each other. I swear to myself, let's say, I wasn't going to get all schmarmy and weepy up here this morning. And I'm not going to. Yeah. But I am absolutely going to do my very best to drive the point home to each and every one of you that the most important thing, the most important task that we have here on this earth as believers today is love. Close from the love of God. And if you're a believer, you know that. And if you're not a believer, then I pray that you would know that. That the love that he has for you would fill you and would bubble over and flow out to others. Believers and unbelievers alike. What's going to bring people to Christ is your display of love in the world. What's going to build up believers in the body of Christ is your display of love to them. In times when they're in need, in times when they downright irk you and frustrate you and maybe get you so angry that you just, you go away and you go home and you say to me, you know, I don't understand. At that time, more than any other time, is the time that you need to remember this is one of Christ's people. This is part of Christ's body. Whether you like this person's personality or not, whether that person maybe did something wrong to you, just dig down deep. And if you're not finding it there, just confess that to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm not finding it there. Help me find it. Help me remember. Let me love that person. Inside or outside of the family time. Most difficult time that I have as a believer, not being around believers, is remembering that I have a commandment to do good to those and to love those that aren't in my family, so to speak. I'm sort of undecided. Sometimes I think it's easier to portray godly love to believers, particularly those that we fellowship with often, because it's easy for us to remember, you know, that we're part of Christ's body. But then on the other hand, sometimes I think it's more difficult to show that love to our family in the body of Christ, because we spend more time with them. And I know that if I spend a tremendous amount of time with my family, I start getting nuts. You know, sometimes they drive me up the wall. And I'm being very honest. And I love my family. Okay? My desire is that each and every one of them would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. They would really enter into what that means, understand it, and have that absolute knowledge and assurity. But in the meantime, I got to do my very best just to love them. Now, you know, and love isn't just letting everything slide all the time. And love isn't just looking the other way. Because godly love is a caring love. It's a love that means more than just being tolerant. Because that's what the world wants you to do today, is just be tolerant. Let people do what they do. As long as they're not hurting anybody else, they're fine. They're living a sinful life. Whatever they're doing, if you tell people that they're doing something wrong, that's not love. That's judgmental. But Scripture defines love as caring for one another. That when you see that somebody is doing something wrong, you should, out of love, point that out to them. You have a responsibility in love to point out to them scripturally what is wrong. The world will say, no, you don't, you let it slide, and you go on your way. You love them, you just love them. You know, shower them with love and, you know, take care of them and be happy and be healthy and move on your way. And no, not at all. Whom the Lord loves, He chastises. We've been talking about all these different characteristics. Our brother Bill gave us an excellent message on discipline and the fact that chastisement and discipline is a part of loving care. And sometimes it's very hard for us. We may see a brother or sister in Christ doing something that would not be pleasing to the Lord. And it probably is very difficult for some of us, and probably for many of us, to want to bring that up or to mention that to that person. It's extremely difficult. I have a real hard time with that. I can't go to someone and say, you know, I see that in what you did there, and you really can't do that, and blah blah blah. You know. But if you really care for that person, think of those of you that have children, think of your own children. Because God loves us with a kind of love that is a father, the love of a father to a child. That's a godly love. Think of children, of your own children, or think of your nieces and nephews. If they're doing something that is wrong, that could be harmful to them, you probably wouldn't hesitate to make it known to them. Because you care enough about them to not want to see any harm come to them. And it's the same with sin, with little sins, and with bigger sins. We may not necessarily understand or know the impact of that sin, but all sin is harmful. All sin is damaging, and all sin works that. If we love one another, we need to prayerfully and lovingly approach one another and let each other know about those times. Sometimes just talking is good for us. I think sometimes we may harbor things inside. We may see somebody do something, and that impacts our view on that person a little bit. And we don't say anything, we don't talk. It might have been something innocent, it may have been harmless. We don't know. But because we just bottle it up and we don't say anything and we just go along our way, those things tend to build up. Getting off the topic. In 5 minutes to summarize. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 15. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, that's the Greek word again, agape love, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I was surprised how many times that is mentioned in the New Testament. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It comes up frequently and consistently. It's a very important concept for us to grab hold of and for us to develop within ourselves, to love thy neighbor as thyself. It's the fulfilling of the law. But Paul says here, use this liberty that you have in Christ now. Use it as an occasion to serve one another. See, because that's... Again, that's agape love. That is godly love, serving one another. Remember, I started out by telling you that godly love is a love of action. It's a love that does. The quote master, let me find it in our chapel log. There it is. The quote of the month, and I like this, says, true faith produces a life full of actions, not a head full of facts. A life full of actions. Agape love is a love of action. It's a love that does. That does for others. First John chapter 3. Well, we'll close with this thought. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 18. My little children. I like that term, little children. The Lord Jesus used that term as well in John's Gospel. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You know, that's quite a challenge for each and every one of us. It's really a challenge for me because here I stand before you here this morning for 30 minutes telling you how much we need to love one another with the godly love, that we need to not think of ourselves, that we must always put others before us. And I know that your eyes are going to probably be on me for the next little while to see if I was really listening to what I said. And I'm sure I'll fail you miserably. But nevertheless, it doesn't make it any less important. It doesn't make the truth any less real. That probably the greatest thing that we can do is to develop a love within ourselves, a godly love within ourselves for one another, for believers, for unbelievers. First of all, for God, then for each other and the family of God, and then for those that are with us, that they be joining the family of God. So if we're on the Christmas season, verse that's in my mind is John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, godly love is love of action. For God so loved the world, he gave. He did something because of that love. He didn't sit there.